Welcome to the region's only public safety radio talk show. It's time again for the Sheriff's Report, your weekly radio call from Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich, now in its third year on the air.
Radio base to the Sheriff. Come in, Sheriff.
Well, good morning, folks. This is Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. In studio with me today is our county clerk, Tim Fitzgerald. And we're going to talk with Tim a little bit about the clerk's office, what the clerk's office actually does, some of the things that he's accomplished in the last 4 years, because you are running for office again, correct?
I am, yeah, back up for re-election.
So, no offense, but you're one of the least known, I think, offices in the county. Matter of fact, some people, your friends will even say, oh, nobody really cares about what the clerk does.
I've heard that.
But in reality, the clerk's office plays a major function in the criminal justice system. And it is really important that you have a true forward-thinking leader in those type of positions and not an activist. So, folks, when we were in campaign cycle, it comes to the point by the time you're halfway through, you can almost do everybody else's stump speech because you've heard it so many times. And I've heard your opponent's stump speech. He doesn't seem to like the military very much.
No, that's obvious.
He always points out that you're a retired Marine colonel.
Yep, and I'm very proud of that.
Tends to beat up on your leadership style. And, you know, folks, I've lived through elections where you have some of your staff not liking what you've done. In 2014, I had part of my staff didn't like the fact that I and 38 of my peers went to the state legislature and asked them to change the law to simply state police officers should not be able to commit crimes on duty, nor should we be able to lie. Now, it seems like pretty simple stuff. Should have been one of those laws that would have sped through the legislature. Folks, we couldn't even get that out of committee because of the unions. The unions fought us, and during those discussions, the unions looked at me and went, Sheriff, if you don't back down now, we are coming after you. In 2014, they did. You kind of have a little bit of that dynamic going on right now, because the vast majority of your office supports you.
Oh, absolutely.
But you have a couple of that don't like to play by the rules and don't like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things your opponent has beat you up on is training.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about training in your office.
Well, let me double back to the other comment, though. You know, every manager needs to manage their office. This is executive level management. My opponent has neither the skill set nor the leadership nor the character to handle this type of office. This is way out of his league. He will not hold his ground to do what's right and what's proper. The thing I want to point out is that every office has 10%. There's always people that don't like what's going on, and that's okay. But your job as a manager is to work with them and get them to understand what's trying to be accomplished in the office and work with them so that they understand what's important and where the office wants to go. But you also want to make sure that the other folks in your office, the ones that are working very hard and doing a good job, are also taken care of. We have a fantastic atmosphere in the clerk's office. It's a great place to work. Ladies and gentlemen, come up to my office. Get the real truth. Come up to my office and see my folks. Talk to my folks. We are touted about our customer service. We are touted about how well we treat the public. My mantra is customer service is critically important. Nobody comes to the clerk's office having a good day unless they're in an adoption. Other than that, I do the 8 case types, criminal and civil, family law, domestic, you know, guardianship and probate, adoption, paternity, civil commitment, voluntary, involuntary. I do dependency, truancy, and juvenile. For the most part, nobody is there because things are going very well for them. They're there to get their lives straightened out, and they need help. My office, works with the attorneys. They're my professional community. We treat them with professionalism, and we work with them on the issues that they need done. When the public comes in, we have compassion and empathy, and we work with the public to help them out. I'm not allowed to give legal advice in the office. That's one of the rules I have from the office. That's an RCW. That's a state law. So we try to help folks as best we can, but we cannot give out legal advice. So clerk's office is the second busiest office in the county. We handle all your legal documentation, all your legal paperwork, all your legal financial transactions. I am the keeper of the legal record. We are very strong on confidentiality. We are very strong on sealed documents. We have never, ever in the 4 years since I've been in charge, we have never lost any records at all. Occasionally, paperwork will get misplaced between us, the prosecutor, public defender, and the court, but we normally track it down. We keep very detailed records of all the mail. I get 200 pieces of mail a day, and we have no problem with getting the mail to the right place where it's supposed to go. I mean, we could be a mini post office. 11,200 customers we serve.
So all that's going to take training.
That takes training. So the training aspect is this. When I took over, it's difficult to train the shop in that we work every day. The schedule goes every day. You would need to have dedicated training department to train your people. Obviously, most departments, the vast majority of departments, don't have a dedicated training department. You don't have that option. Folks come in, and what we do is we get them into a courtroom with a very senior clerk, and then we train them for several months in various different case types. If we have a gap in one of the courtrooms and that clerk is picking up the docket, a individual, let's say a family law docket, and they're in there for a month and they're really picking it up and they're really doing well and a judge is happy and a judicial assistant is happy and we're happy, then we may sign that person off and have them stick with that one docket. But for the next several months, 6 months, almost to a year, we continue cycling the clerks around when time's available to different dockets to learn and build their resume and build their profile inside the courthouse. So we will train them in all different eight case types when we have the opportunity, and we continue that training. The second thing I did was when I took over, I established a training program 4 years ago. Court owns the hours, so I can't close my door when the courts are in session, so I asked the court, what I'd like to do is every other month have several hours of training. If you'll give me this opportunity, I will close my door so I can have dedicated training for my people. And of course, that's a great idea, Tim. We back you 100%. So I have time to train my people as a group on various things that are coming down, new laws, new legislation, new document processes, things that the court and I have worked out to change a procedure on how a document will be handled. And so we built that training program and put that also in place. And then as a final note, we're going to Odyssey case management. So Spokane's turn to go to Odyssey is this November. So it's our turn coming up. I've been planning for this for 2 years. I have all the equipment in place. I have all the budgetary considerations done over the past year, because you got to do the budget a year in advance. And I've done all that with the county. So the budget is already built and sitting in place a year ahead of schedule. All the equipment is in place. And they've been practicing and using and working with the equipment. So they don't have to learn equipment and a new program. Now it'll just be a new program. So that was part of our strategy in getting them ready. And now the classes have started. And they'll start doing their training classes on this program.
Another thing that you get beat up on by your opponent is you cut the wages of your employees, according to him. I almost fell out of my chair when I heard that one.
I think almost everybody did.
Because, folks, I can tell you that every department head, every elected official is told one thing to the Board of County Commissioners. We are no longer competitive wage-wise. We can no longer recruit good people.
This is true.
When we do recruit good people, they don't stay because they use it as a springboard into their next job. They get the experience, they leave, because we are not competitive anymore. We need to do something about that. So when I heard your opponent say that you purposely, go ahead and address that.
Well, it just came back. It was alleged that he made a comment that, you know, we in the budget cuts, we didn't argue hard enough on the budget cuts. Obviously, he has no idea how the budget is handled. It's very obvious. He has no idea how county government works. That's pretty obvious. He's already insulted the judges on saying that when he's a clerk, he'll tell the judges to get their job done and do it faster. that is, I find that funny because we have checks and balances and we have three branches of government. So he has no idea how government works at all. So that's very interesting. That will not work well. My job is to support the court. That's what my job is. That's my constitutional job as an independently elected official in the executive branch is to execute the day-to-day business of the legal system. That's what I do. And I support the court because I handle all their legal matters in the paperwork and the finances. We don't want the court touching the money. We don't want the court keeping the paperwork. It comes back to the executive branch, you, me, the prosecutor, assessor, auditor, and treasurer. We execute the day-to-day business of county. We're the executive branch, executive level management and leadership. Okay, so the Board of County Commissioners is a legislative branch with some authority. Some executive authority, some judicial authorities. The Board of County Commissioners constitutionally owns the budget. That is one of the great prerogatives of the legislative branch. We, as department heads, go down and articulate our cases. So about 2 years ago, I went down and I was working on a pay raise for my office. I presented a very good argument and the county commissioners concurred with my pay raise argument. I was also at the same time arguing with them to get two more additional people. And they came back to Tim, you had two great arguments. Here's the deal. We can't do both. You got to pick one or the other. In the best interest of the office, it was taking the two extra people, an extra processor to even out my teams and an extra court clerk to cover, you know, when there are gaps in the court clerks. The pay raise only pertained to one section of my five sections. So it wasn't... not everybody was getting that. So it made more sense and it was in the better interest of managing the office. Remember, as managers, we make command decisions. We make the decisions that are in the best interest of running the office and taking care of the public. That's what we're supposed to do. So I took the two bodies. Currently, right now, I am working on a pay raise for my entire office. And that's due to be presented here shortly. I've been working on it for over 6-7 months now, long before the campaign even started. And we had this all built in and ready to go. The last thing we had, we'll talk about the budget cuts real quick. So all of us, every single department was told to cut 7%. That's what we were told to do. We're given some pretty astronomical numbers. In my case, I was given like $195,000 and change. That's what I was told to cut. That's a lot of money in the clerk's office. 96% of my budget is people. 96% of my budget is my people. The most important thing in my office are my people, and they will tell you that. That's the most important asset I have in the office. I told my people two things in the budget cuts. We will do our 10 statutory duties. We have to do that. That's our constitutional statutory duties as your county clerk. That's what I owe the public. That's why the public put me in office in the first place. That's what I'll do. Number two, there'll be no pink slips. I will not cut a single person. Nobody in my office will be given a pink slip. And I kept both those promises. We do all our statutory duties, and nobody in my office got cut. Nobody. What I did was I restructured my supervisors. I have a chief deputy that basically would do most of the work if I wasn't there. But I also have other people. I have five other department heads that are running their departments. So I really don't need supervisors supervising supervisors. What I need are workers. That's what the public comes and that's what the public needs to help. It's my workers that do the work. I have a great office with exceptionally talented public servants that work very hard for our communities. So I restructured the supervisors. Instead of having a chief deputy, which is, you know, a very high-paying position, I restructured it and redesignated as an office manager. It does the same thing a chief deputy does, but it's just an office manager at a lower pay scale. And that's what I did. Then I had a vacant position as a customer service, an entry-level 083 position. It's entry-level, so it doesn't pay very much. And what I did was they just answered phones all day. Well, I automated the phones, so that aspect is taken care of, and that vacant position, we just cut that vacant position. And when all was said and done, if you look at the actual cut, it was something to the effect of the restructuring had a cut from two different pay positions, the amount of money, but the position was filled, and then the actual money that was actually cut would have been $7,500. I mean, you know, that's nothing compared to what they were asking me to do. County commissioners are on record to say one of the most creative briefs they got was my brief. In addition, I was able to save another $36,000 of turnover money that I requested to hold that for me so I can re-wicker that money and put it back into my domestic violence programs, which, as you and I are working together on that, that's a very successful program for us automating domestic violence documentation. So they immediately, as soon as the court signs protection orders, no contact orders, restraining orders, I get them right away and I send them right to you, electronically to your office for police records to have it.
One of the aspects that I've always admired about your focus has been the focus on the customer, the citizen that comes in, the citizen that usually is having that bad day.
Yeah.
And you did something kind of unique. Most county offices close for lunch.
Yes, that's a court order, yes.
Yes. How did you get around that one?
It took me 4 months, actually. It was not as easy as everybody thought it would be.
Because you don't close for lunch.
I do not. So my job is to serve the public. My job is to serve and support the court. That's what I do. Customer service is paramount in my office. We've demonstrated it for the past 4 years. You can talk to any of the attorneys and stuff. They'll tell you we have great customer service going on in our office. And people have written letters to our office thanking us for our customer service. Most folks get off at lunchtime and their jobs to come to the county to do their legal matters. And they came to the county and the door was closed. And that is not how you serve the public. So first thing I did was we needed to open the door. So I had to create a flex schedule. So employees could show up at 7:30, work through lunch, and then leave at 4, show up at 8 o'clock, again, cover the other half of lunchtime, and then leave at 4:30, and then show up in normal working hours at 8:30, and then leave at 5 o'clock. So I had to build a flex schedule first. So I designed and drafted up and wrote a flex schedule for my office, talked to my office to make sure that my local union in my office was okay, and that they were okay with this as a team. And they were, and they got to pick who would come in and how the teams would spread themselves out so we could have people covering the finance box and customer service. So we got that done. Then I had to go to the union and talk to the union. I'm changing, and we have a collective bargaining agreement, but my folks will be on this schedule. They'll still get their 15-minute breaks, they'll still get their lunch break, but we'll be on a flex schedule. And the union said, hey, very creative, we love it, thumbs up, execute it. Then I had to go to HR, because HR represents the county and the collective bargaining agreement to make sure the county equities were covered and protected. And they said, yep, great job, Tim, we love it, good to go. Then I had to go to the court, because the court had a local court rule. The court owns the hours in the courthouse in the legal system. And so the court said, Tim, your door's closed at lunchtime. So I said to the court, I'd like to have my door open at lunchtime. And they're like, but we close the courts at noon. I said, that's okay. I'll still cover the courts with my clerks when you're closed and open, but I'd like to have my customer service section and my finance section open during lunchtime. And the court said, because the court and I work real well together. That's a critical, critical aspect of my job, is my relationship with the 12 independently elected judges of our Superior Court bench. My relationship with them is incredibly strong, and we work real well together. It's a team effort. That makes all the difference in the world. Talk to them. They'll tell you. It makes all the difference in the world. So they said, okay, Tim. So I asked them to redo the local court rule, and they redid it and allows the office to be open at lunchtime.
Creative thinking. Yep. That's one of the things that I think is a hallmark of your leadership, your time been at the county. What's next for your office? Where do you see going next? You mentioned the new software program coming in. Software programs are very tenuous at times. Yeah, thankfully, you're not the first one to have to experience and go through it. Other counties have probably worked out some of those bugs. So what is the next steps for the clerk's office?
So for us, one of the biggest things we've done is we've built a very detailed training plan to train our staff over this next 6 or 7 months. It's very comprehensive. In addition to training with classroom training that they'll get from the administrative office of the courts, we have also designed our business practices, our business procedures, and how we do our processes. I'm creating and have created an SOP. The office never had a standard operating procedure for how we do business. Well, I've created that. So everybody knows how each of our processes are done. And what's so critical about that is that now AOC can look at that and see how their computer program will tie into our processes and work out computer programming in advance of actually implementing this. So we have all that in place. The Odyssey program, the training will start in detail in September and October. I have briefed the bench, the court. I have briefed the Bar Association. I'm an associate member of the Bar Association. I have briefed the attorneys at large. I have I'll be having media releases that will be coming out. I put it in the calendar call, which is our local legal newspaper. So I'm telling folks what's going on and how things are being done and what to expect, because there'll be some delays as the program gets up and gets running as we work it out. They have not done a county as large as Spokane since Snohomish in 2000. And I'm going to say 2000 and I think it was 2016 was the last time they did a county. May of 16 was Snohomish, I believe. That was the largest county they've done. King and Pierce opted out. They're not doing this. They have their own programs. But Snohomish, Spokane, Clark, the top three largest counties. Clark and us are going together here at the end this November. That's our designated date assigned to us by AOC for our programming after we delayed 2 years ago because they weren't ready for our volume yet. We had too much going on. They weren't prepared to execute it. So we go into the Odyssey case management. I will keep our document management system in place. We'll go to Odyssey case management. And then what I will do is that will give me the final step to get to electronic filing. So law firms could be at their offices, open up electronically into our system, get their documents, pay for their documents, and then send their documents electronically to us, and then I'll get the electronic workflow to share it with the court, prosecutor, public defenders, yourself, pretrial services, and jail. That's a big goal.
LFOs has been an issue. Quite frankly, I've heard this for the 12 years I've been sheriff. It's a hotly debated topic. There are some that equate you to being the debtor's warden, debtor's prison warden, I should say. It just goes on and on and on. Explain LFO.
Wow. How much time do I have left?
You have 5 minutes to get LFOs.
I will do it in four. Okay. Legal financial obligations are an obligation when a defendant comes to court and has their hearing, and let's say there was damage done to a victim's property or to a victim, and there's also, and that's called restitution. And there's a non-restitution element, which is court fines and fees, DNA testing, and then the crime victim assessment penalty, which goes to the prosecutor. Okay, so they come to court, and the court makes a decision during the hearing on how much the defendant will pay. Defendant's found guilty, they become an offender, and they owe money back to the court, and they owe money to the victim. I'm the executive branch. I execute that court order. I execute that judgment and sentence. So it's my job to collect the money that's owed back to the court and that's owed to the victim. So what was happening is they get assigned, they come into my office and we do a financial declaration with them and we try to help them. We try to get what their financial status is. And then the court will eventually take our recommendation or to take our notes and information and determine an amount of money that that person will pay to pay off the restitution amount. So let's say they save $10 a month. So the person's paying $10 a month, and they'll do it since 2000. As of 2000, it's a lifetime sentence. Before 2000, it was only 10-year blocks. So they'll pay they'll have to pay the money off at $10 a month. And it's my job to track that. What was happening when I took over was if the person wasn't paying their $10 a month after 3, 4, 5 months, a violation report or a non-compliance report from me went to the prosecutor. Prosecutor sent out a warrant for arrest. The person was arrested and put into jail because they didn't pay. First of all, it's illegal. You can't do that. So we fixed. So right away, Larry and I go, first thing we do as elected officials, we fix this. That's number one. So I said, I'm fixing this. We're not going to do this anymore. That's not the way to do business. And at $138 a day in jail for not paying $10 a month, that's ludicrous. That makes no sense to the taxpayer. Why would you do that to somebody? And if they had a job and you put them in jail, they might lose their job. Now you're killing their ability to pay. We're not working. We need to work with these folks. That's what we need to do. If you have a family and you put them in jail, that creates family problems. There is a humanity issue, a community service issue involved in this. I told Larry I will send you a violation non-compliance report, but what I ask you, because it is his decision in the end, I ask you no more warrants for arrest, zero. Send a notice of hearing. Notice of hearing means the offender gets a notice that they're not in compliance. Please come either to my office so that I can, update your financial document and then you go to court or just come directly into court and explain to the judge what's going on. And I worked with the advocate groups, Lane Peavy and I did the time, Julie Schaefer and Claire Cardone and Alex Beal with the Center for Justice, Jefferson Coulter of Northwest Justice Project, because they saw it from the community perspective. I said, come help me. Show me what can we do to make this program in the best interest of our community in Spokane But at the same time, ensure victims are getting paid and court orders are followed. And we worked as a team. The community and I worked as a team on this. And it's been one of our biggest successes in Spokane is our LFO program. So success number one, no more sending people to jail for not paying. They get a notice of hearing, they come and talk to a judge. That was a huge success. Number two, we designed partial payments. Folks couldn't pay. They couldn't make the payment for the month. It was non-compliance. I said, well, that's not right. Sometimes all of us had trouble making our payments. So let's make a partial payment is acceptable. If they're showing good faith and trying to make their payments, my office works with them. And that's what the community groups saw. Number three, I asked the court to change the local court rule again and allow the offenders to pay with debit and credit card because they haven't. They want to come with their debit card and they want to pay right away. They don't want to have to go get cash or cashier's check or money order. So we did that. And that was very successful for us. And then the last thing we did working with them is that we have community outreach with them, with these community groups, the advocate groups. So we reach out to them, and if they had a warrant for arrest, we say, look, come to me, call me and come to me, and we'll update your payments, and we'll get the warrant recalled. We'll get you down to the court and get the warrant recalled because you're trying to make it work. And so we did those several things. And then finally, one of our second biggest achievement is the policy. I wrote a policy. We never had a policy. I wrote a policy on how we'll do LFOs in the county, working with the advocate groups and community groups and the prosecutor and how to do this correctly, and the Council for Defense and public defenders. And we wrote a policy on how we'll run the program. So now it's standardized and everybody knows what's going on. These are huge successes for the LFO program. It's recognized statewide.
And the victims are still taken care of.
And the victims are taken care of.
You have about 30 seconds. Why don't you tell folks how they contact you and how they can get involved with the campaign? 30 seconds.
30 seconds. So please go on my Facebook come to the meetings. The sheriff and I and the prosecutor will be down at the Hilliard Heritage Celebration this Saturday. Please come down and see us. Come to our booth and talk to us. You all send me great questions all the time. Please send me questions. I'll continue answering you right away. That's one of the things we do is we answer questions right away. Please go to my website, retaintimfitzgeraldclerk.com, retaintimfitzgeraldclerk.com, and go to my website and look at the things we're doing. Look at my endorsements on the website. It's bipartisan. I got it from both sides and all the legal community, several of the electeds, many of the folks in the community, businesses. I was endorsed by the labor union, the regional labor council endorsed me. So, because I take good care of my people. So look at all that and see where I'm at. I run my office as executive level management. That's what this is.
Folks, Tim Fitzgerald, Spokane County Clerk. This is Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Ozzie Knezovich, and I've been your sheriff for the last 12 years. Folks, I believe high standards lead to highly trained and motivated professionals that keep our community safe. I know high standards are what the people of Spokane County expect and what they should demand. Because of my stance on high standards, crime rates are down. Over the past 12 years, we have seen the lowest violent crime rates in two decades. Please vote Ozzie Knezovich for sheriff.
Paid for by the committee to elect Ozzie Knezovich for sheriff.
The Sheriff's Report is a joint production of Spokane Talks Media and KTW, 6:30 a.m., and 96.5 FM, which are solely responsible for its content. Ask a question, recommend a guest, or watch this program again anytime at SpokaneTalksMedia.com. Have a safe day.